Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Caroline Fenton is here. Hello, Caroline.
Hello. How are we doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Ian is here. Hello, Ian. Ian, we have a congratulations to give out. I don't know if you guys discussed this yesterday on the show or not. I obviously was not here. Caroline Fenton, first pitch, First Horizon Park Saturday. I was unable to attend, but I got confirmation from the sounds that Caroline did not bounce the baseball. So I am immensely proud of Caroline.
Thank you.
I just want you
to
know that.
And I would like you to know that as I was walking out there, you know, people were cheering, heard my name. All I could think about was do not bounce the ball. And so I didn't. So thank you very, very much. And I did yesterday rub it in your face a little bit that I indeed did not bounce the ball.
Well, I don't know how that's rubbing it in my face. I said don't bounce it. You didn't bounce it. Good job. I'm happy.
Well, thank you.
But I mean, you know, whatever.
I'm going to take advantage of the situation.
I am very proud of you, though, for not bouncing it. And I will say this.
Thank you.
I think that I've gone out of my way because I don't really care about these things. But like you and I have talked privately, and now I'm going to tell people publicly about how sometimes I feel like women in the media are pigeonholed into certain positions. And It's like, you know, sideline reporting, hosting, you know, things like that.
Which are all wonderful occupations. And
sure, Tom Rinaldi sideline reports and does an incredible job. But I feel like your potential as a host is what maybe we don't see a lot now in sports media. And I don't have some, like, when we went to, you know, add somebody to the show, it wasn't like this, okay, we need to bring in somebody who, no, it was like, all right, let's find the best person. We found the best person. But anytime that a guy in this town gets up there and bounces that ball, I mean, you should shame the heck out of him.
Oh, absolutely.
I just want you to know.
Anytime
that.
Anybody does, I will shame
just
the heck out of him.
Shame the heck out of him. Just
if I can throw it right down the middle, perfect strike. I think it was around 98 miles an hour.
Okay, well, now we're just getting a little rich.
Okay, yeah. But thank you very much.
So
I will make sure to rub it in their faces as well.
So school is starting. And who remembers what it was like when school started for them? I remember, let me say something. When I was a kid, I used to be depressed this time of the year because I knew we were going back to school and here starts the trudge to the next summer. And yeah, I'll get to see my friends, but I was depressed. Now that I'm an adult, I kind of welcome it. Because then it's the start of football season, and then football season becomes hockey season, and then it becomes draft season, and then it becomes hockey playoff season, and then I get the summer where I take, I take time off, and I, you know, whatever, and then it's football season. So now I enjoy it. But in the past, I used to hate it. But I'd always go back. I was not a great student. I hate to say that. I know that my teachers at USN who listen to this show hear me talk about the fact that I wasn't a great student. And I know they probably deep down inside, like, why does Jared have to bring that up? But I wasn't. I was good at certain things. I was bad at other things. I was a good English student. I was a good history student. When we got out of, like, the dark ages, I was a good history student. You want to talk to me about, like, the New Deal? Fine. You know, the world civilizations about, you know,
Mesopotamia,
the caste system in India, not really my thing. But every year I would say this is going to be the year. This is going to be every year I'd say this is going to be the year that I get straight A's. Every year, get my syllabus, got my planner, got my backpack organized, ready to go. And then by about 2 or 3 weeks into the year, I just kind of be like, yeah, studying doesn't seem as fun now that I have to do it as it did when I said at the beginning, I'm going to study. So training camp has this sense when you first open it of, oh my goodness, thank God football is here. The Titans are in the pads. Tannehill is at quarterback. Kevin Byard is on defense. Oh, look at the new additions. I mean, it's just, well, now we're about 3 weeks into training camp. And when you're 3 weeks into training camp, it kind of gets dull. I think it gets dull for you, the listener. You've already heard. Everybody knows Marcus Johnson is playing great, and Chester Rogers looks fantastic, and Tannehill's throwing interceptions, but he says he's trying to do it and just push the envelope, and he'll be fine during the season. We know Julio and Derek aren't going to practice. We know it's good to see Farley and Dupree off the PUP list. It's like, okay, we've seen all that now. You know, we know the defense is supposed to be good this year. We've seen all of that. Like, we've seen it, we know. So I think it's kind of boring for you. I think it's getting kind of boring for us. We stand out on the sidelines. We watch every drill and every plus 88. Marcus Johnson, again, plus 88. But don't we want to kind of see A.J. Brown go up against somebody who's not his own guy? Like, don't we kind of want to see, you know, a little new blood out there? And I think it gets boring for the players, too. I mean, this is a hard schedule for these players. They show up around 6 o'clock in the morning. They have meetings. They have walkthroughs. They got a two-hour practice. They have a lunch break. They go back to meetings, and then they have more meetings, and then they have another meeting, and then they leave at like 8 o'clock at night. That, after a while, gets to be kind of monotonous. I mean, it's fun. It's definitely fun when you first do it for the first time. But I'm at practice today, and I'm watching the way it's going. I'm watching who's playing well. I'm watching who's struggling. And it just kind of hit me. They need to take the next step now. Like, the newness of training camp, the excitement of being out there, it's over. Like, it's kind of over for us. We can tell you all about the practice. The fact that Anthony Firkser had a great catch today. Kevin Byard had a fantastic interception of Ryan Tannehill in the back of the end zone. Marcus Johnson made some great catches. We can say all of that. But, like, even for you, the listener, isn't it kind of, it's time for the Titans to get out there against somebody else. And I'm glad that it's happening this Friday against the Atlanta Falcons, because I think there's two things the Titans really need right now. One is, I think they need to hit somebody else. You know, I think the defense looks much, much, much better. But when they intercept somebody, it's Ryan Tannehill or it's Logan Woodside. Kevin Byard, as I said, made an incredible interception in the back of the end zone, jumped up. I mean, we thought maybe Tannehill was trying to throw the ball away. Now, I think he was aiming for AJ in the back. But Byard leaped out of nowhere like Michael Jordan and grabbed the football for an interception and got both feet down. It was beautiful. But is that good because it's Byard, or is it bad because it's Tannehill? I don't know. So I think it's time for them to hit somebody else. I think it's time for them to cover somebody else. I've seen Christian Fulton go up against Marcus Johnson or A.J. Brown about 100 times now. It's time for them to go up against somebody else. And I think the other thing that the Titans need, and this is why I'm glad that there's a game on Friday, is I think they need to actually play real football. Football's the one sport that you can't really practice. If we want to practice basketball, right? And I mean really practice. Now, we can do individual drills and work on technique, and just like we can work on our jump shot in basketball, we can work at our pad level in football. But at the end of the day, we can put the ball out, and we can let it go 5-on-5, coaches call fouls, and we can play a basketball game. Like, we can play basketball. Baseball, get in the box, guy on the mound, get 9 guys out there, here you go. Strike one. Soccer, every other sport, the same way. In football, you can't actually practice a game until you get to the preseason. You can't hit somebody. They don't even coach tackling anymore in practice. I mean, so now I'm watching this every day. Today was with no pads on. So what happened on the offensive line, I could tell you, but does it really matter? But on Friday, guys get tackled. And I want to see these guys tackle. I want to see Christian Fulton have to tackle. I want to see, like, I know Byard can tackle. I know Henry can break tackles. I know A.J. Brown can catch the ball, you know, with a good defender. I'm not worried about that. Those guys may not even play. But I need to see this deep. Can they tackle? Can they kick a field goal when guys are rushing, trying to block? Can they return a punt when it's not catch it, run a little bit, whistle, stop? Can Chester Rogers catch the punt and go return with it? I don't know yet. They don't do that in practice. So we are now at the point, just like when the school year kicks in and at the beginning of the year, I'm going to get straight A's this year. I'm ready to go. How many Metro kids are there across the city of Nashville that today walked into school thinking, I'm going to get straight A's this semester? They were glad to see their friends. They were glad to be back. They were glad to be in the lunchroom. They were glad to see their teacher, who 3 weeks from now are going to be like, oh, why do I have to do this homework? And that's where the Titans are now. That's my takeaway from camp today. I can go through all the pluses and minuses. You saw me out there. I got my pad, plus this guy, minus that guy. But where we are in camp right now, it's time for a game. It's time to hit somebody else. It's time. It is time now to see, okay, defense looks pretty good against the offense. You were there today. Defense looks pretty good, right?
Defense looks pretty good, but also who's out there for the Titans offense?
Who's out there on offense? It ain't Julio Jones. It's not Derrick Henry. For the most part, it's not Taylor Lewan, Nate Davis, Ben Jones. It's, who is it? It's you know, it's a, today was a second string offensive line blocking for Ryan Tannehill. So, okay. Do we think they can beat a good team? Well, guess what? Next week they get to go practice against Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So that's going to be a little different. So, again, I just think we're at the point in camp now where it's time to go up against somebody else. And I think it's great that we're getting that 3 days from now. I think the players need it. I think the coaches need it. Because instead of coaching against themselves, now you're coaching against somebody else. And I've gotten to the point where I feel like everything the Titans can accomplish in camp right now, they've done. Like, they've done everything they can do up until this point. And now it's, okay, what's next? Because what's next is absolutely more important than what has already happened so far. 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. Another good day for the defense on the practice field. Interceptions galore. Tannehill, Woodside. Tannehill had a series where I thought he was fantastic, and then he walks over to the other field, and I thought I was watching Mariota play quarterback again. I mean, like, oversailing guys. I said to Joe Rexroth, I'm like, do you think there's a chance that Vrabel told Tannehill, hey, I want you to make these catches really difficult for these receivers, because he had been dropping dimes up until then, and now he's shooting guys by 5 yards over their heads.
He was doing that yesterday, too, just way overthrown, even out of the end zone.
That's not Tannehill.
No.
Like, that's not what he does. So, what does that, is he getting bored? Does he need a game? 615-737-1025 is our phone number, but there is a development so far as Titans practice is concerned that I think I'm maybe still a little skeptical of. We'll get to that coming up next, and I hope I'm wrong. I think I can say this with all sincerity. I hope I'm wrong. We'll explain next. We're live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Given how good the offense is supposed to be, how encouraged are you with how well the defense has performed so far in camp?
Yeah, I mean, it's day by day. We go back and forth. I'm encouraged by what we're doing. I'm encouraged by our energy and our competitiveness, and I think we're improving. I see little things from every player, like I told you guys last week. But again, it's day by day. We've still got a long way to go. We're 10 days in. Like, we haven't done anything yet. We got to keep improving, keep the focus on us. Right? And then we'll see as we get into the season where this thing goes.
Titans defensive coordinator Shane Bowen, the man of much criticism from a year ago, who shockingly looks a lot like Ryan Fitzpatrick. I cannot get over how much Shane Bowen looks like Ryan Fitzpatrick.
If Shane Bowen had like a much bigger beard, I could see it.
He's got a big beard.
I mean, but Ryan Fitzpatrick's is like big.
He's got, Bowen's got a big, thick beard. Now, his beard's a little bit more gray, but I think Fitzpatrick's is starting to get a little gray, too. I mean, I think, it's obviously.
He's not the youngest person.
He is not, but this is just me. I think Shane Bowen looks incredibly, every time he stands up, I'm like, oh, it's Ryan Fitzpatrick. Oh, no, it's Shane Bowen. Shane Bowen, tons of criticism around Shane Bowen. You've been at training camp, Caroline. You haven't been at training camp, Ian. So I'm going to say this. I think there is no question that the defense has outperformed the offense so far at training camp. I think we also are skeptical of the Titans offense right now because Julio Jones hasn't practiced at all. Josh Reynolds hasn't practiced much. Derrick Henry hasn't practiced at all. A.J. Brown has picked and chose when he's practiced. Taylor Lewan has not practiced much. They haven't had any tackling. I mean, really the only consistent thing at practice right now on the offensive side of the ball is Tannehill, Ferkser, and Marcus Johnson. And that's it. So, in theory, if the Titans went into a game with Tannehill, Ferkser, and Marcus Johnson, whatever NFL defense they're playing, probably should beat them. So Shane Bowen says he's encouraged. This was the most maligned group ever last year. Are you taking the cheese on the improvement on the Titans defense off of what you have seen, Caroline?
Off of just what I have seen, not yet. I'm still skeptical because I have seen some plays being made out there, but I've also seen some sloppy mistakes against the Titans' second and third team offense.
But that's the second and third team defense, too. Like, you're not going to see Kevin Byard make a mistake because he's not going to be out on the field when Logan Woodside's playing quarterback.
Fair. But, I mean, I think what, you know, you're looking at Janoris Jenkins making big-time plays in practice, and it's like, okay, well, that's not Julio Jones. That's not A.J. Brown. That's not going to be the top caliber of wide receiver that you're going to see week one.
Sure.
So, do I think that this Titans defense will be improved from last year? Yes, I do. I wasn't at training camp last year, so I can't compare what I've seen the past couple of weeks versus last year. I do think that it will improve because how could it not? But that's not based off of what I've seen in training camp.
Ian, you have not seen training camp for the Titans.
I have not.
But you knew how bad they were last year on defense. Just
correct.
How terrible they were. Are you taking the cheese on the improvement on defense?
Not drastically, no. I do think they could be better on defense. One thing I have been thinking about that we haven't really mentioned a whole lot about, we've talked about it a little bit here and there, is the return of Jayon Brown. Mm-hmm. You know, I think he got hurt halfway through the season or so, and it was a lot tougher, I think, for people to get on the same page. I do wonder how much missing Jayon Brown hurt the chemistry back there of people and the communication issues. I do think we're kind of overlooking the fact that he could be hopefully around for the whole season.
Well, and Jayon Brown's a big play guy. You know what I mean?
He makes big plays. He can get to the quarterback, interceptions, fumble recoveries, as you say. Yeah.
So I'm totally in agreement with that. But
to answer your question, I don't think they're going to like take it like from, you know, 25th or 29th, whatever it was, to like 10th, right? Like, I would be extremely surprised for that to happen. Could they break the top 20 and get to the 15 to 20 range? I could see that.
So here's where I'm going with this. I don't know. And I've seen it. And I look at the defense, and I see this is what I think is ultimately going to happen. I think Jenkins is going to play one corner position. I think Farley's going to play the other corner position. I think Christian Fulton's going to play the slot. I think Kevin Byard and Amani Hooker are going to play safety, and it wouldn't shock me if Amani Hooker made it to the Pro Bowl. I think they're going to rotate up front. I think Tart and Murchison are going to be players that are in the mix and big snaps. Autry's going to help Simmons. I think Dupree and Landry are going to be a decent tandem. Like, I think the defense, on paper, I think I can talk myself into the defense being pretty good. And even without Dupree doing much, and without Farley doing much, and without... I think I can talk myself into the defense being okay. I think I can talk myself into it. They've made plays so far. I've seen the plays. I've seen Amani Hooker make a bunch of plays. I've seen Tier Tartan, Laurel Murchison as rotational, you know, defensive linemen that you have to have. I've seen them make plays. I'm with Ian. Jayon Brown's back in the mix. I don't think that's a small thing. And yet, I just can't get excited about it. I cannot get excited about it until I see them do it against somebody else. And today I asked Kevin Byard that exact question, which was, how important will it be to go up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 2 weeks, or excuse me, next week, for 2 days of practice? How important is it for you to actually believe the defense is going to change? Because they don't know either. Like, they probably feel like, oh, yeah, hey, last year this happened, that happened, this happened. This year we've remedied those problems with these fixes, and we're back to it. And they might be right. But I got to see it against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, so I asked Byard about how important those practices are going to be.
How badly do you guys need the Tampa Bay practices against, obviously, one of the better offenses in the league that just won the Super Bowl, in order to know that the transformation is for real?
I don't think it's anything about knowing anything is real or not. We'll know that when week one starts. But to have that practice against Tom Brady, obviously the Super Bowl championship. I definitely think it's going to be a pretty good measuring stick to see where we are. It's still going to be time for, to improve even after we play those guys in the preseason. So we're a long way from week one, but at the end of the day, I always enjoy practicing against other teams in previous years, Carolina, the Patriots as well. It's always fun going up against those guys because, I mean, the practices, they're really like the games. I mean, obviously the preseason game is coming, but we treat those practices like it's game day, so it'll be a good measuring stick for us.
See, I love it. Here's what I love, right? He opens it up by saying, well, you know, we'll know that the transformation is real week one. And you'll see this with guys sometimes where they answer with the coach talk, and then they tell you the truth afterwards. As soon as he got that coach talk element out of it of, you know, it's not about knowing if the transformation is real. We'll know that week one. This is going to be a huge measuring stick for us. I mean, this is more important than the games. And when he said more important than the games, what he means is practicing against Tom Brady and Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Rob Gronkowski and Antonio Brown and Leonard Fournette, that is a more important to them. Kevin Byard, Bud Dupree, Amani Hooker, Janoris Jenkins, that is more important to them than a preseason game where they'll play 13 snaps. Like, that's the difference. And that's why I'm going to Tampa. Because I'm going to watch this. Because I need to see if this defense can go up against that offense and perform. I need to see. Because if they can, and even Byard said at the end, you know, hey, they're Super Bowl champions, so this will be a good measuring stick for us. That will be what tells us this transformation is real. And I'm not knocking the guys that cover the team. Like, I'm not saying don't read what Jim Wyatt wrote about practice, or don't read what TD wrote about practice, or don't read what Joe says tomorrow, you know, don't read. But I can't tell. I can't tell if it is Tannehill is just forcing a bunch of interceptions out there because he's letting it fly right now. But once it gets closer to game time, one of the more efficient quarterbacks in the NFL in Tannehill is going to hone in and not turn the football over, which I do believe. Or Julio's not out there. Derek's not out there. No tackling, which was a problem last year. You know, let's see how that works. Let's see when it's 3rd and 8 and it's Julio Jones and A.J. Brown out there as opposed to Marcus Johnson and Mason Kinsey and Anthony Firkser. Let's see. But if you go to Tampa Bay and you know they're going to work in things that are important to the Titans, so there's going to be some third downs where it's Byard v. Brady. When you see that, if the Titans are dominating that on defense with the ease in which they're performing in this camp, then I'm in. Then I am chips in the middle, and I'm like, all right, I sounded like a total, you know, trying to think of the way to say this, a total jerk. I was a total jerk for screaming up and down about firing Shane Bowen. I was wrong by the wrong, but they got to do it. And if I was to go to a casino today, and the FanDuel Sportsbook app were to put odds on whether or not the Titans defense is going to go to Tampa Bay and shut down the Bucs, I'm betting against them. Like, I'm betting Tampa Bay. But if they do, then to Byard's point, that's the measuring stick. Now I can believe in the defense.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, I told you earlier before the show, you said, what do you think about practice? I said, I mean, the defense looks good. But the defense looks good, but they're not going against the same kind of competition that they're going to see in game. So I reiterate that sentiment of Tampa Bay is going to be a great measuring stick for this team. And to be able to get that experience before the preseason and be able to shake off some of those things like, hey, we went into Tampa Bay, we got absolutely destroyed, or maybe not, by this Buccaneers offense. So here's what we can take from that moving forward and make those adjustments in the preseason by week one.
So I hear you on that, and that if they get torched, that'll be what they turn that into is the, hey, you know, we struggled, but we learned. You know, it was good to have Tom Brady show us what we need. I'm looking at it like this. I think the defense is better. I really do. But the closest thing that I will get to real football until it is Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins and I don't know any of the other offensive players for Arizona. Ian, do you know any of them?
For who? Offensive players for Arizona?
Yes.
A few, yeah.
Who?
DeAndre Hopkins.
Well, I just mentioned him and Kyler, other than that.
Okay, I'm sorry. They got A.J. Green. Christian Kirk.
Oh, that's right.
They do have A.J. Green.
That's right.
Who is running back?
Chase Edmonds is their running back.
Okay.
Who is that?
I don't know.
I'm spacing on a couple others.
Benjamin is their backup. I know that for sure.
See, you can tell Ian plays fantasy football, and I don't.
Yeah, like, that's when you know all the random guys.
Yes. So
Ian just picked him up off waivers.
The closest thing that I'm going to get to watching the Titan defense before I get to see them play a real game that matters is Tampa Bay next week.
Oh, and does James Conner play for the
James
Cardinals
Connor?
Now?
Yes, that is who I was missing. They signed him as their backup.
You know, he might be a good player. He might be a bad player. I can't tell. Was he a product? Because that offensive line was good.
Uh-huh. And they drafted Rondale Moore as well.
Ooh, damn. That's a lot of people.
That is a lot of people.
That is a lot of people.
So those four receivers are kind of good, actually, so assuming AJ Green is legit.
The closest thing we're going to get to Evans, Godwin, AB, Fournette. I mean, the closest thing we're going to get, or I should say to those guys in Arizona, is that. That's it. So I want
like,
to
I'm
believe.
I'm cool with that.
I want to believe in the Titans defense. Shane, I want to believe. I want to be able to come on the air in October of this year with the number 3 defense in the NFL, which is probably a little ridiculous to suggest that, probably more like with the number 13 defense in the NFL. But I would love to come on the air and say, Shane, I was wrong. Shane, you are the next Jim Schwartz. Thanks in large part to having Jim Schwartz there. But you're the next Jim Schwartz who was terrible, had a terrible defense in 2001, and they were much better than the AFC title game in 2002. I want to be able to do that. But I can't get excited about the defense right now. Fair?
Fair. I am optimistic about the defense, but I'm not going to let that carry me away.
Ian, fair?
Fair.
Okay, now let's say this. Let's say defense plays one real series against Atlanta on Friday.
Okay.
And defense locks them down. And defense plays well at Tampa in the preseason practices. Then do we have to be all in on the Titans defense? Because I will be. I will commit to the Titans defense if they don't give me any reason to be concerned. And I mean any. Any reason to be concerned between now and next Friday.
What do you mean by all in?
Yeah, I don't know if I can go all in. Can I be like, a little bit more optimistic? Sure. I can't go all in on that, though.
Yeah, I'm with Ian.
So I will say this. If they go to Tampa Bay and they outplay the Tampa Bay offense, where it's obvious, like how them outplaying their own offense mm-hmm. has been obvious so far at camp, then we can start talking Super Bowl contention. Like, then we can, because if the defense is good, we're all banking that the offense maybe takes a step back, but is still going to be one of the top 5, top 6 offenses in the NFL. If the defense is good.
I need the defense to be, like, really good.
So you're talking, like, top 10 defense.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard for me to take away from Duke.
To talk about Super Bowl contention.
I mean, nobody went into this year thinking that the defense had to be top 10 for them to compete for the Super Bowl.
I mean, I kind of feel like it does. It needs to be top 15, I think.
Top 15, I think, is legit.
Top 15, but if they outplay, talk about the Super Bowl.
If they outplay their own offense in training camp, and they outplay Tampa Bay's offense
but
in training
camp. But they outplay
their
own offense in training camp without a lot of their heavy hitters.
Sure.
Offense.
But once you put Tampa Bay in the mix, like, to me, what we're seeing from the defense in training camp right now is, this is just my opinion, but is solely based upon, it will be defined what I'm seeing now by what I see next week. So if they go out there and they dominate that Tampa Bay offense next week, then it's like, hey, the defense has been locking it down all training camp. They are legit.
Yeah.
If they go in there and Brady is just, phew, touchdown, phew, 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 and it's like, oh, God, this defense sucks. Then it's, hey, you know, no AJ, no Derek, no, you know, whatever.
They looked good in practice, but when sure. they were tested.
The, as they call them, the St. Thomas Sports Park All-Pro Team. You know, like that kind of thing. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get your thoughts. 615-737-1025. There is a development. Paul Kaharsky versus AJ Brown. Did you see that last night?
I did see that last night. It was very spicy.
We'll get our thoughts on it. 615-737-1025, Stillman & Company. We're going to be giving away some PBR tickets later in the show, so be listening for your opportunity to win those tickets. ESPN 94.9, by the way, is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in Sunday. Nashville SC takes on DC United at Nissan Stadium, pregame 5:45, and the match begins at 6 o'clock. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5, The Game. Stillman & Company, I was not at practice yesterday. Had the day off. You know, I'm on that Derrick Henry program. Everybody's got their own individual program.
Were you just on the stationary bikes yesterday?
I was at one point on the stationary bike.
That's good.
Something that counts. On the assault bike. So I missed A.J. Brown versus Paul Kaharski, which apparently was just dynamite.
It was fun.
Was it fun?
It was fun to watch from afar and kind of eat my popcorn and see how everything unfolded.
Okay, so here's what happened. Paul Kaharski tweets out a video of Josh Reynolds saying that Josh Reynolds doesn't look explosive there. Fine. A.J. Brown replies, what's the exact reply that A.J. had, Caroline?
He says,
because he has deleted this tweet.
He did. He said, I'm going to say this as nice as I can. Nobody asked for your F-word opinion. He's probably working through something like everyone else is in camp. I'll probably get in trouble for this, but I don't even care. Need to learn some respect fast.
And then Kaharski added some clarification or whatever. But let me say this. This is basically what this is. I saw the video Paul posted to Josh Reynolds. And I saw what Paul said about he doesn't look explosive. I mean, how much are we supposed to care about a guy looking explosive in the warm-up drills when he's a lock to make the team, which Josh Reynolds is a lock to make the team. Josh Reynolds is going to make the Titans, everybody. Like, let's just be honest. He's going to make the team. So how much do I really care about the guy not looking explosive in a warm-up drill? Probably not a lot. A.J. Brown fires back at Paul. And everybody was talking about it. When I got to camp today, because, I was off the grid yesterday. And when I got to camp today, everybody's like, did you see what AJ and Paul got into? And, like, when I hear that a player gets into it with Paul Kaharski, like, that doesn't surprise me. I mean, I saw Wesley Woodyard one time want to fight him in the locker room. And I saw Darren Bates, of all people, be the guy who was, like, kind of separating it. So, this is not the first time that anybody's. But, like, am I supposed to, like, I think people think this is juicy and drama-filled. I'm not really sure that it, like, matters. Like, Paul's going to do what Paul does. That's what he's always done. And he's going to have opinions on stuff, just like I'm going to have opinions on stuff. Just like, that is the job, is to be opinionated on this. And I'm not sure I care about Josh Reynolds not looking explosive in a warm-up drill, but Paul's entitled to talk about whatever he wants to complain about. And then on the AJ front, about he's probably working through something like everybody else, I don't give a crap about that. Like, guess what? And AJ knows this better than anybody else. When you play in the NFL, you're going to be hurt at some point. And Bud Grant used to say this, and I know this because Floyd worked for Bud Grant, and so did Pete Carroll, and they told me about this one time, which is, Bud Grant used to say, anybody can play great when they're fine. Great players play great when they're injured. So I've always kept that in my mind, that when we talk about our love for Steve McNair, it's about how well he played when he was injured. And that if Derrick Henry is hurt, we don't care. If Derrick Henry's out there, and this is what I've always said about sports, because hockey does this a lot, where they don't talk about injuries, and then a guy stinks in the playoffs, and it's like, you didn't know this, but he had a bruised pinky toe, and you hear it all the time. And the Bobos will shout it from the top of, hey, be easy on Ekholm. He had a bruised pinky toe, Jared. And it's like, then don't play. Like, if you're not going to be ready to go, don't play. And I've always believed that. So AJ can sit there and say, hey, everyone's working through something in camp. Then don't practice. If you don't want to be judged by what you do in the practice field, don't practice. You don't want to be judged by what you do in the game because you're hurt, don't play. Now, we're going to judge you about how you don't play, but don't do that. But ultimately, I'm not sure I really care about this argument.
But to that, I say, why does A.J. Brown care what Paul Kaharsky has to say?
I don't think he should.
I don't think that he should. Why don't you just stay off of Twitter and do your thing?
So I have long since believed that everything outside of the sport, like when you walk through the door, I think I can say this. When you walk out of the door of the Titans facility, it says something along the lines of, remember that when you exit the door, what happens here stays here. And I think it says the same things on the doors in New England. Because one time Floyd made some comment about that's, you know, there's something written on those doors in Foxborough, and then he wouldn't tell me what it was. And I'm guessing it was the same thing, especially considering that the coach and the general manager are ex-Patriots. Like, sports talk radio, Twitter, blogs, message boards, you know, the where we've gotten from there to here, like, that is the playground of all of this. This is just, it's entertainment for the fans. You, the player, should never care about what I think.
No.
Because what I think ultimately doesn't matter. That's why I get a kick out of the fact that I'm clearly under John Hines' skin. I'm clearly under David Poyle's skin. And I don't care. Because they need to do a better job. He needs to do a better job running that team. He needs to do a better job coaching that team. But ultimately, no one gives a rip what I think. I mean, everybody. When David Poyle said, I know more than you, they were like, ah, get him. But when they were getting their rear end spanked by Detroit and Columbus in February, and they looked like one of the worst teams in hockey, and I'm saying, oh, maybe it's time for a changer. Yeah, get him, get him. You know, like, that's just fan bullcrap. That's what it is. And players got to realize this. Like, you've got to realize this. It's like anytime some blogger that I've never heard of that writes for some website that nobody visits sits there and says, well, Jared Stillman will tell you. Like, I don't care. I do not care. What some, I, that does not bother me because it doesn't affect me. And so I'm with you that A.J. Brown shouldn't care, but I also understand that he's like 24.
Okay, yeah, but...
These kids have grown up on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and YouTube, and they've grown up on this crap.
Well, I'm 24, and I like to think that I have a little bit of restraint when it comes to social media, so I'm not going to take that. A.J. Brown makes millions of dollars, and if he's responsible enough to manage that and to manage being a professional athlete, then he very much so should be able to manage his Twitter account.
Now, and I have, and I understand that because we talked about Poyle a couple of weeks ago. Man's like 75 years old, and... He's sitting there getting mad about what I'm saying. Like, no, do a better job.
And I understand the argument of A.J. Brown's looking up for his guy. He's defending his
which
guy.
Which I do believe. Which, A.J. is, he feels like, hey, I'm alpha dog in that room, and I got to stand up for my guy, and I do get that. I understand that.
I understand that, but I think also this is setting a poor example in that we should care about what the media says about us on Twitter. Because whatever Paul Kaharsky says on Twitter, whatever you say, whatever we, whatever the media says about the Titans has no effect on what happens week one, has no effect on what happens in the roster.
Never has.
Never has, never will.
Unless you let it.
Unless you let it, and I think that was a little bit of what A.J. Brown was doing, was making it a bigger deal than it needed to be. I think, in my opinion, the best thing A.J. Brown could have done, if Josh Reynolds was all beat up about what Paul Kaharsky had to say, A.J. Brown could say, put your phone down. We don't care what he has to say. If you're upset about what he has to say about you, then put in the work.
I mean, I see it both ways.
I get it. A.J. Brown is defending
his there's a
youth.
History. I mean, like, there's a history with Paul and the team. There have been players who have felt like Paul was trying to tear the team apart at times. And I'm not saying he was or he wasn't. But that's what, when Wesley Woodyard and Paul got into it in the locker room, that's what that was about. That was like 2 years ago, and I forget how this all happened. It had something to do with Logan Ryan, and Logan said, don't say this, and then Paul said that Logan said it, and then Logan got mad, and then there was some, I can't remember all of it, but it was Woodyard, you know, basically saying, you know, you're not going to tear us apart, you're not, you know, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, I'm not sure it affected anything to do with anything. Like, I'm not sure that any of that did anything that affected anything that had to do with that season ending up in the AFC Championship game. So to your point, like, it doesn't really matter, but I understand the need, the feel that A.J. Brown would have to, you know, stand up for his guy, which I get. But I guess my take from all of this is, like, I'm not sure I really care. Like, it's nice to have, like, a beef. You know, like, media beef with
it's
the player.
Fun. It's fun drama when you're week three in training camp, and it's like, well, you know.
And I don't mind being in it. Like, when it's me and Ken Whisenhunt, when it's me and the Predators, when it's me. I do not mind being in it. Because the one thing I will say is if I say something, I believe something, I said it, then I said it. It's like people will, I'll say something or tweet something or somebody will want to get me on their blog or their podcast or they'll be like, I would love to talk to you about this. It's like, nah, I talk about it every day. So just take whatever I say there and then just talk about what I said it. That's my opinion. I don't care. I don't need to discuss my opinion of your opinion of my opinion. Like, I don't need to do that. And so I see both. I mean, I just, when I was told that there was drama between AJ Brown and Paul, I was like, what was it? And then I heard, I'm like, oh, okay. And I moved on with my
Twitter
life.
Beef.
And we're all going to move on with our life about it anyways. So I'm not sure I really care about it.
It was Twitter beef, and I'm not really putting too much stock
if it was a boxing match and you had to pick a winner, who would you pick?
You know what? Paul really has been looking pretty buff recently.
No, I don't mean like that. I mean like if you had to pick like of the Twitter muscles, who would you have picked?
Kaharsky.
Really?
Yeah.
That's because you're annoyed by AJ reacting to it.
No, I'm not. I mean, I like AJ's social media. I think it's fun. But when it comes to Twitter muscles, Paul can flex it. I think AJ would get shot down before he's really able to stick it to him.
That is a take. That is a take.
Who would you have picked AJ in terms of the Twitter muscles?
If this were a boxing match and I had to pick this particular instance, I think I'd take Paul, but only because AJ deleted the tweet. Like, why delete the tweet? You said it.
Probably because Titans PR said delete that tweet.
Who cares? You don't work for them. I don't think you work for them.
The Titans?
Yeah.
If the team that you play for that pays you millions of dollars says delete your tweet, you're not going to?
If Tom Brady is selling some crap on Instagram, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers say, hey, Tom, can you not post about that butt cream that you say just makes you just awesome? You think Tom would say, okay, Tampa, I won't pump my miracle butt cream? No. He's like, guys, I got money to make.
Well, this is different.
No, it's not.
Why not?
Because AJ is a grown man and he can do whatever he wants.
It's not an ad that he's making money from.
I stand by what I said. If he kept the tweet up, then I would have called it a split decision, but okay. I'm going with Paul because he deleted the tweet.
All right, fair.
615-737-1025. We got a lot of your Titans texts to get to, so we will do that next. 615-737-1025 here on Stillman and Company. Let me tell all the fine folks out there about my friends at TriStar Moving. I have been telling you about TriStar Moving, the official presenting sponsor of Stillman & Company. I have been telling you about TriStar for a while, and my most recent move was last winter. I guess November counts as the winter. Last November, I moved with TriStar Moving, and it was absolutely stress-free. And I'm telling you, a lot of things about buying my new home was not stress-free. The moving with TriStar Moving was absolutely stress-free. That's why their motto is TriStar Moving with five-star service. You'll get five-star service throughout the entire process. Everything was taken care of, from covering the floors and banisters, railings, front door thresholds, the door itself. They wrapped and protected all of my furniture, and they'll do the same for you. And they put all of my TVs in protective boxes, and trust me, I've got a lot of TVs. They have a brand new state-of-the-art storage facility in Mount Juliet I've been telling you all about for a while now. So again, if you got a place you got to put your stuff, Mount Juliet, they've got it. The owners, Garrett and Robert, true Nashvillians and good dudes. And I vouch for them on that one. And they truly care about helping their community. They're from Nashville any way they can. If you're looking to move, give my friends at TriStar Moving a call. 615-640-1219 or visit the website nashvillemoving.org/radio. They'll give you 5% off the entire move. TriStar Moving. Jared Stillman. Tell them Jared Stillman sent you for 5% off your entire move. My official movers, that's TriStar Moving. Stillman and Company, hey, be sure to check out the ultimate social experience coming to Nashville. My Wine Society presents the Blended Festival August 13th and 14th at First Horizon Park. Live performances by Cascade, Little John, Matt Stell, Blanco Brown, Bryce Vine, and more. Enjoy Blended's massive 100-foot wine tasting tent and indulge in culinary activations by Nashville's hottest chefs. They'll also have Blended's relaxing wellness lounge, VIP village, and a whole lot more. Get Blended tickets on sale now at blendedfestival.com. Use promo code CREW. Cromwell at checkout for 10% off your ticket. Thoughts on Titans practice? Defense looking good so far. Marcus Johnson, Chester Rogers keep doing their thing. And we got A.J. Brown and Paul Kaharski getting into it on Twitter. So let's go to your phones as promised. Text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What's in there?
Michael from Missouri texts in and says, I know Rashawn Evans isn't the most important player on the Titans defense, but I thought he was better in his second year than he was last year, and I think that partially hurt the defense. I just haven't heard anybody talking about him in camp, and I know they're not tackling, so it may be hard to evaluate him, but has he been around the ball on running plays and shown any improvement in coverage?
Rashawn Evans has got a lot of pluses. You know, when I go through, a guy makes a good play, plus 54, he's gotten a handful of them, and I do sometimes, based upon coaches' reactions to things, give guys plus or minuses. So when I hear Vrabel yell, good job, Rashawn, I'm going to have to give a plus 54, right? He obviously did something right.
Right.
Like, whatever Vrabel's telling him to do, he did, so plus 54. Today, somebody got just screamed at and taken out of a drill, or it was team period, took the guy out, put somebody else in, minus. So, not Rashawn, but if somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And, boy, Evans has gotten a lot of praise from Vrabel. Like, during practice. Of, you know, good job, Rashawn. Wait, you know, that guy, Vrabel has given Evans a lot of praise. I mean, I believe that with the defense, adding Autry and Dupree and Jenkins and perhaps Farley and having Fulton for a whole year. Maybe it's optimism. Maybe it's the truth. I don't know. But I do feel as if a high tide could raise all boats. So if Autry and Simmons work great together as a tandem and Dupree is forcing quarterbacks to let go of the ball quicker and the secondary is holding guys down, then I think it makes a guy like Rashawn Evans better. So as far as individual play, I mean, I can circle guys that I think have played well, but I think with the massive changes that they've had on defense and the investment that they put on it, I think you have to believe that the effect will be a positive for everybody, as I believe losing Logan Ryan was a negative for everybody, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. Josh also texts in and says, what's the most important thing that we should see succeed in the preseason game? He said, for me, I need to see some pressure and dominance from the depth at defensive line.
Kicker. I mean, they're not going to play the good players in preseason. Here's why they're not going to play the good players in preseason. If they were going to play the good players in preseason, they do it in game two. Mm-hmm. But because they're going to have two practices against the Buccaneers, I think you're going to get two series, maybe, out of Tannehill and Co. in that second game. So what are you going to take away from two series? Probably nothing. So take that out.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think anyone's going to do anything in the third game. The first game is always going to be the let's play one series, put the ball cap on.
Mm-hmm.
To me, kicker is where, if there's a serious battle, it'll be in the preseason. Now, I will say this, and I think a lot of times people think I just say things, like that I just have opinions, and it's like, oh yeah, Jared just said some crazy stuff. So let's say that this is more of an informed opinion than a typical opinion. Last week, I thought it was more likely than not the Titans were going to get a kicker from the outside of a team that got cut to be their kicker instead of having Steven Goskowski. Now, I think Goskowski will be the kicker of this team this year. And I would be stunned if Goskowski is not in here by the end of training camp. Like, I think that one thing, and I don't know if this is fair or not, but I do wonder. You know, Goskowski didn't have a preseason last year. He didn't have a training camp last year. And as a guy who got off to a slow start, does he look back at it and think, man, if I had had some preseason games to get ready, if I had worked with the snapper and the holder and at that time, maybe I would have been better at the beginning of the year and had a better season. And I don't know. I don't know what Goskowski thinks. I don't know what the Titans think. I don't know any of that. But I just do think it's more likely than not that Goskowski's back. So there's that. 615-737-1025. Lamar Jackson is back off the COVID list. I think he might be the first player in the history of the NFL to go on the COVID list for having had COVID twice. Which, by the way, to everybody that says, I've already had it, don't have to worry about it. Yeah, Lamar Jackson. And yet, Lamar had some interesting comments. We'll discuss that next. Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.